Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
when I didn't know what I was going to do,
colleagues, and all of you that are listening live on tonight.
Like I said, I've been under the weather and I hadn't been feeling my best, but you know, I just continue to move on as God give me strength, because you know, from day to day, you know, God will give us strength to keep on pushing, to keep on moving, because we know how imperative that His word is in us getting it out among you, His people. So see, when we took on this assignment, we should have known what it entailed before we took it on. And if we didn't, you know, because some of us might didn't know what we were going, you know, we was going into and getting ourselves into, but we know that whatever we do for God, it's not going to return back unto us void. But God is going to see that it go out and do what God has set it out to do. So like I said, I'm just going to be with you shortly on tonight, and I just wanted to come by and just bring your word, because I know this is like Christmas season. And I also want to make mention of, and thank you, God, for putting this on my heart, oh, Overseer Janice Ward. You know, I'm over on Facebook. I'm over on Pinterest. I'm over on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. And so what I have taken on, this is our second year now in funding this is charity, is our kids that's in India. They are in need of dresses. They don't do toys, but they do wear dresses. And so we just, you know, ask you out of the kindness of your heart if you would be so gracious to assist Overseer Ward in getting these young girls. These are our orphanage girls in Shanghai, India, that need some dresses, and we only have a week. We only have a week left before Christmas, and I'm asking all of you that will, just open up your purses and your wallets and give. You know, Overseer Ward don't ask for much, and I hardly ask you for anything. God pays me, and God makes sure that I'm taking care of my bills and what have you. And then if I need anything, I just go to God, you know, just like any of us do. You know, we got to go to God in prayer and ask God for what we want. We have to go down in secret prayer and ask God. We just don't tell God what to do, but we ask God, God, will you bless me to obtain this? Will you bless me to pay that? Will you bless me to go here? You know, and so that's the way we do. We pray to God. And then we wait on God to answer our prayer petition. But we can't order God around. We can't order Him around, because God is God. He's almighty. He is an omnipotent power force. He is a force to be reckoned with. And it's nobody, invisible or invisible, that can go head to head with Jesus and win. So we know God is our omnipotent Savior. He is the one that rescued us. When we was unable to rescue ourselves, God reached down and got us out of the miry clay of mud and dirt of sin. I'm not talking about real dirt. I'm talking about that decree of sin. Excuse me. I thought I wasn't going to be able to cough, but look like I think I'm going to try to keep it low, because I think if I try to go higher in my vocals, I think that's what caused my throat to get dry. So I'm just going to try to minister just a little delicate on tonight to try to keep me from coughing, because I don't want that, you know, in my recording. And so y'all just pray for your pastor. Just pray for me as I pray my strength in the Lord. And I'm going to be praying for you, you, and you, as I always do. So just know that Overseer Ward is praying for you as well. And I ask you to pray for me, because God tell us that we are to be helpers one to another, and we are to rejoice with one another and reap and weep with one another as we going through. And so I know a lot of you, you know, might have lost a loved one. May have been the last 72 hours, last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, last 8 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours, an hour ago, 30 minutes ago, or moments ago. Whatever the case might be, we just want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement, but you have prayer warriors that's praying around the globe. You said praying around the globe, overseer? Yes, praying around the globe. We have prayer warriors that's their assignment is to pray over the earth. So, you know, God has to have people praying for us, praying for me. Then I, in return, pray for you. You, in return, pray for somebody else. And it's just like a chain game. It never ends, but it's continually ongoing. And so we pray for one another that God will carry us through, that God will strengthen us, that God will keep us in perfect health, God will keep us in our jobs and in our homes and in our automobiles, and just keep us from day to day, because we know every day brings about a change. Not every day is the same. Yesterday is not the same as today. And your tomorrows, if God said the same, will not be like today. So we all have tragedies and triumphs, and we have low parts in our lives. But that's where we go to God and we pray. And we ask God, you know, to intervene on our behalf. And God already told you and I, he said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you, but I will be with you to the end of the earth. So we know that God will never leave us and he never forsake us. And, you know, I was just reading earlier tonight. I've been just very torn about that fire that's just keep on looming across, hallelujah, our city. And, you know, I'll tell you, it brings to mind God's word. And I know this is not my message, but I'm just bringing this out as God is laying this on my heart. And I've just been so touched and emotional about the fires that have swept the neighborhoods and have gutted out homes and automobiles and people's possessions. And I don't know, you know, how this fire started. I don't know if it was just it was humidity, if something else ignited from explosion. I don't know. But I just know that people have lost everything that they've had, you know, in their possession. If, you know, some of them might be fortunate enough to have a second home, well, God bless you. But those that don't have the monetarily power to obtain more than one home, and you lost everything, you know, they really require our prayer, because it's just so heartbreaking and it's so sad. And so I was reading tonight about a fireman that had lost his life. He was young. I think he was in his 30s, I believe, early 30s. And he lost his life. And, you know, I know it takes a lot of willpower to stand in the midst of those blazes of fire all around you. Which is no, but it's just only one way to exit. And to even get out, and it looks like it's a winding road, and you're driving your vehicles and your trucks and the fire engines through there, and then trying to get out alive, then to save other people's property. You know, we shouldn't sit back with our hand crossed and our chest out and being, you know, rude and saying, hey, you know, well, you know, they was rich, you know, so what? You know, they lost. But, you know, you shouldn't have a heart like that. You should be just as hurt as if they was just a common individual that have a 9-to-5 job. You don't look at them as having money, because it takes money to buy those things that they had, you know, that they lost. Some of the items they'll never get back. And so when I saw that article about that young man, he left a wife behind and a young daughter, and I think the wife has a baby that's due, either it's coming or the way soon. And I read that article, and I was so touched, you know, because I might sound like a hardball, but, you know, I'm hardball when it comes to preaching the word of God. But I'll tell you, when it comes to people, I'm very, very touched. You know, that's my softer side. People and children is the softer side of myself. Because, you know, we have to have a mind and a heart like Christ. How will you be able to enter into heaven if your heart is made of iron? Your heart is made of steel. You don't have any sympathy or empathy for anyone. Then when your time rolls around, because everybody's got a turn to suffer, you're going to suffer down here on this earth while you're existing. You're not going to always have it going your way. But God is going to bring in some trials and some tribulations into your lifeline. Then how will you want the world to react when you lose something? When you lose a son or daughter, a husband or a wife, business colleague, healthcare provider, those that's near and dear unto your heart and soul. When you lose something that is dear to you and you tell others about it, because you can't keep it to yourself. So you're going to go to social media and share it with your friends. Tell them about your losses. But yet you didn't have a heart for the individual that lost all that they had. You know, we got to not be so hard-hearted and mean and cruel. We have to have a heart, and we have to weep with those that have lost and be joyful with those that have gained. Because in this life, you're going to lose and you're going to gain in this life. And sin brought that on. That's the way it is. Is because of disobedience. But that's not my sermon on tonight, so I'm going to get back, hallelujah, on key on where I'm supposed to be. And my sermon on tonight, and you're going to hear me sniffling a little bit because I have sniffles and I have my nostrils is not thoroughly where I can breathe through. So, you know, I'm just doing the best that I can do with what I have, you know. So I'm just asking, like I have first stated, asking the prayers of the righteous ones to keep me before the throne of God, and I will do likewise. I'm going to get a little sip of my beverage here, excuse me. Thank you. And so, like I said, our sermon on tonight entitled Light and Shadow. And we're going to read our first key scripture. And it reads like this. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Hallelujah. That scripture reading was coming out of the law of Isaiah 9:2. All right, we're going to keep it moving because we know we don't have much time. And we're going to try to get as much in here as the Lord allows. Hallelujah. Whew. And so we know we're talking about Jesus coming into this world, in a dark world, because this world was dark and it was void before Christ entered it. And so we know that despite much debate and discussion, that we find out some scholars has not reached a consensus of the meaning of the glorious Masonic oracles, but we know that some have suggested that Isaiah, he envisioned, I can't see that well either on tonight. I don't have my rightful specs, but I'm doing the best that I can with what I have. And so Isaiah envisioned some living monarch. When some suggested, hallelujah, let me get back, because I'll tell you, my eyes, woo, my God, let me see. Give me a little light, Father God, will you? And so, anyway, like I was saying, they envisioned some living monarch when he penned these words. He says that others propose that he had in mind the occasion of a coronation. Still others think he clearly envisioned some distant divine event. And it was told that this debate withstanding, the Christian church, it reads this passage and it sees it in the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God's pledge of hope to his children. That Christian hope that is guaranteed by Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection. This passage teaches you and I and us that the Christian hope is not in vain. In these verses, we see the fulfillment of that hope. When darkness was dominated, we find out that light, hallelujah, spring forth. When death had dominion, life come forth. Where no hope existed, hope now appears. In contrast to the wishful thinking, we find out that Christian hope is true hope. It is the hope founded on Christ's strength and his character. He can never fail you and us, and he is faithful to his promise. Apart from God, we have no hope. But with God, you know, and I know, and we know, and they know that all things are possible. We find out that the Christian hope is sure. You can go into the law of Isaiah 9 and 1 through 7. Isaiah writes in the past tense, he writes as though the future has already happened. But his confidence in God allows him to place the light of future hope in immediate proximity to the agony of the present darkness. Not because it wouldn't happen immediately, but because it was immediate evidence. To the eyes of his faith, he experienced faith as the writer of Hebrews perceived it. He said that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, coming out of the law of Hebrews 11 and 1. And those of us who hope in Christ, I want to ask you, are you walking in darkness of this world of problems, this world of trials and tribulations? You can see the light ahead. And you could be sustained by that hope. For as certain as the dawning of a new day brings forth light that drives away darkness, so does the birth of Christ's child that drives away the darkness of yours and mine and our despair. Whatever is going on in your life, I want you to know that God, you might be experiencing darkness in the form of loneliness, sadness, despair, discouragement, and you feel like you're nobody, nobody loves you, I want you to allow God's light to shine down into your heart. Allow God's spirit to talk to your heart, to let you know that you are somebody, to let you know that you are God's child, to let you know that you were to die for, to let you know that you are not alone, but Jesus is walking every step of your journey, of your trials and your tribulations. You might say, Overseer Ward, my Christmas seemed dim. It don't look like I'm going to have a Christmas. You might say, Overseer Ward, I've lost my parents, I've lost my mother, I've lost my father, and this is the celebrations of their demise. And you're feeling sad. Well, I'm in that same boat with you. I know where you're coming from because I'm in that same boat. And I'm not a type of individual that will preach on something that I have no knowledge of, but I will be ministering on that that I have knowledge of, that that I have experienced myself one-on-one. And I myself has lost relatives. Matter of fact, I've lost my mother and my father. But I'm not talking about my father because I celebrated his homegoing in November. He died in November. And then my mom, my dad died about 10 years after my mom. And so my mom died Christmas Eve in 88. And it seems like it was yesterday. So, you know, if you're feeling blue, I come to encourage you today. I don't say don't feel blue, because you can feel blue, and that don't take anything away from you, you know, because we all grieve in our own way, you know. No one grieves the same. And, you know, you can never, you know, get over a loss of a parent or a child or grandparents or friend or whomever. You can never get over that. You will get through it because God will carry us through. But it is a everyday reminder that that loved one that you have lost is a everyday reminder. But I come to encourage your heart that you are not alone in your hour of despair, in your hour of bereavement, in your hour of loneliness. You are not alone. God is walking with you. You have your church family. The church family is right here. Just a, what you want to say, I guess a type key away, or however you want to say it, a telephone call away, an email away, a text message away. You know, we're living in a digital world now. So you don't have to just write a letter and put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, put it in the mail. Now we have email. We have text messages. You know, we got moved up in the world. So, you know, not saying that that's not in, because that's stealing, because my daughter, she writes me. She writes me a letter, and she wants to know what's going on with me. You know, Mama, how you doing? My daughter startled me, because when this fire first broke out, I think it was in October, I believe. We had several, and some of them lasted over a month. And then we had this one just broke out up in Bel Air, but it was, I don't know, in several areas now up in the Los Angeles region. But anyway, my daughter hadn't heard from me, and she tried to contact me by my landline, and she couldn't get in touch with me. You know what she did? She called the police, and she told the police, listen, I want you to call this number. This is my mother. I hadn't heard from her. I can't get in touch with her. I want you to call her. And you know that officer did. That officer called my home. I said, hello? She said, asked me, you know, is this Mrs. Ward? I said, yes. She said, your daughter told me to call you. You all right? I said, yes. And, you know, it was so awesome, but then it was startling all at the same time. I loved her for thinking about me, but, you know, on the other end, coming from an officer, you always think the worst, you know. Oh, something done happened, you know, something done went down, it's something fatal, you know, you always think the worst. But she was checking on her mother. She was checking on her mother, and it just, you know, she couldn't move along until she found out that I was all right, you know. So just like my daughter was checking on me, you know, we are to check on one another in our kingdom circle. In our kingdom circle of friends, we are to be helpers one to another. You know, and that's what God told us, to be helpers one to another. And so we're going to read a little more, and then I'm going to get on off of here because I just, like I said, I just don't feel my best, but I'm going to do with what I have, with what God has given me. And so I didn't get a chance to even do my opening prayer because, you know, I had so many bases. I was trying to touch so many different things, you know, trying to get all of it in. But God knows, you know, God knows. God knows all. And so apparently God wanted me to go to another way, and so that's what I did. But anyway, like I said, our sermon on tonight is Light and Shadow. And we're talking about God being the light of the world when the world was dark and was void. It wasn't anything until God spoke it in existence. So the scripture reading reads this. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, Isaiah 9:6. And so we know that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. With adoration for the son who came to you and I, us, in human flesh. That first Christmas, the New Testament clarifies that even further who this son is. In Luke 1, the angelic messenger appeared to Mary, identifies the Christ child in four ways. He would be the son of Mary, and making him fully human. He would be the son of the highest, which made him fully divine. He would also be the son of David, giving him raw linkage. He would bear the title of Son of God, giving him equality with the Father in all things. All of the roles the Messiah was called to fill are made possible in these distinct expressions of his sonship. And so we know that Jesus, hallelujah, is the light of the world. The Bible tells us that the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shone. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. That's why I said I wanted to try to keep talking low. Excuse me. Because look like if I try to get loud, and I'm not trying to get loud, but I can't breathe out of my nostrils. I can't. And so I am just literally breathing out of my mouth. And so, like I said, I need to just try to keep my voice low. Then I will keep me from coughing near as much. But as I have first stated, forgive Overseer Ward for coughing, but I just could not help it. It is what it is. Okay. So, like I said, the adoration of the shepherd betrays the darkened stable in Bethlehem, where two shepherds kneeled beside the manger while other people stood further away. One man holds a lantern, but the brightest light shined not from the lantern, but from the Christ child. It gave illuminated light to those who had gathered close to him. And we find out, hallelujah, that 7 centuries before Christ's birth, Isaiah used an image of light and shadow to foretell the coming of a Savior for Israel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That scripture reading once again, coming out of the law of Isaiah 9:2-6. Hallelujah. And so we know that, hallelujah, that in a dark world, Jesus brought us light. When he brought the Christ child into the world, they said that his light could be seen in the east because it just was just that bright of a light. It could be seen from afar off. And so we know that this is December, the Christmas month of the Christ child. We know that Christmas invites you and I to step out of the shadow of darkness and to allow the light of Christ to shine into yours and mine's and our hearts. Once that we come out of the world and God has cleaned us up, we have asked God to be our Lord and Savior. We've asked God to forgive us for all the sin that we have rendered unto God. And we've asked God forgiveness. We've asked him to come into our lives, to take up residence into our heart, because God cannot, will not, shall not live in an unclean temple. But when our heart is pure and clean, God will come and he will live in yours and mine and our heart. Hallelujah. And he will reign there, keeping us holy and free from debris of sin. Not saying that you won't sin, because if you think wrong, you can think wrong, and that's a sin. But if you ask God to forgive you, the minute that that entered into your heart and your mind, it's forgiven. God said that he puts our sin in the sea of forgetfulness and to remember it anymore. And so when God has taken our sins, we was in darkness before we found Christ. We was in darkness of sin. And then when we acknowledged that we were sinners and we asked God into our lives, then God give us his light. God gave his light unto his children. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus. I thank him for his precious blood that run warm in my vein right now. I thank God because without him, where would you and I be? We would be just like a ship without a sail. And so we know that the word of God tell us, said that Jesus came to bring the presence of God into our world. Emmanuel, meet God with us. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Matthew 1:23. So too we are called to bring his presence into our world. Jesus made that clear when he said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. That scripture reading is coming out of John 20:21. We can give the gift of God's likeness through us, but our lives reflect the God who lives in us. We can be different from the world, and that difference can bless others with the transforming presence of his love and grace. We can pray God, Spirit, to fill our lingering soul. His power all my life, him to control. My deepest prayer, my highest goal, that I might be like Jesus. We know that the gift of God's presence through you and I and us is our gift to the world. So before ending, I hope and I pray I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have a prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Send your correspondence to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gerard, California, 95020. You can also log on to our web address as JaniceWardMinistries.org. Hallelujah. And so now we're going to open up the prayer request line for those that desire prayer. You are encouraged to call in to our studio dial-up prayer request line. That number is 646-200-3074. That number again is 646-200-3074. And so we're going to give you a few more minutes and see if anybody need a prayer request that they would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree. And God will bring your prayer petition to fruition. And so if there is not any prayer petitions at this time, then we're going to turn you over to our second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion, to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. So until we meet again, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Hallelujah. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Hallelujah. Bye for now.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, time to change it. No more rumor, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. Just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits. because they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe. On the brighter side, in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me, and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments, so much I don't understand, so much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our deep. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith. I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me. Johnny met Donna, and they fell in love, but had no idea what love really was. But they tried their best to make each other smile. But while learning themselves, they would have a child. But with no time to think the whole thing through, little time to prepare, it got tough to provide for him and give him love and care. How do I win and where? A question they both often ask God. Life is full of twists, life is full of twirls, worlds, it's worlds, worlds, worlds. There's no way up the world, it flips you upside down. When you're young, when you're old, it just spins out of control. Whoa. Spend out of control. So hold on, because you never know. Johnny and Donna slowly recognized that for the baby's future, they planned two different lives. Donna wanted a family. She wanted to do it right. Make Johnny's house a home. She wanted to be a wife. But Johnny was a dreamer, and he had to move around. Yeah, he'd be there for his child, but wouldn't settle down. How women wear our questions. They both often ask God, life is full of twists, life is full of swirls. Is the way of the world. It's whirlwinds and girlfriends, it's toys and boyfriends, friends and Frenchmen, war, peace, impeachment, gentlemen, ladies, our neighbors, ladies, men, snakes and peach rings, blacks and bleach stains. Don't forget wasp and bee stings. Whether you're Johnny or Donna, or neither of the two, just try to make the best of what's given to you.
Thank you. Yeah. Nashville, Tennessee this evening reports shots have been fired inside of the Antioch movie theater. The suspect is believed to have carried a magic and taken
top liberals in the U.S. have opposed the president's nuclear deal with Iran and wishes that he would reconsider. With the 2015 presidential race starting in Florida, all these interests in this
the revolution is now being televised.
Hey, y'all, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No Western race roll at me. You know it won't prosper now.
Yeah, just got laid off.
I'm doing good.
The house ain't even paid off.
I'm doing good.
You should be afraid, but
I'm feeling good.
All the time you say,
God is good.
We go
down, 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 down. Don't forget who's in control. Walls are falling down, down, down.
They call it hell.
Get ready for the new Jericho. You're waiting on God. He's waiting on you.
So what you gonna do?
Hey, I'm 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No Western race roll at me.
It won't.
You know it won't prosper now.
God, this is crazy.
Hey, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory. No Western race roll at me. You know it won't prosper now. So I'm changing.
I'm doing good.
You see the world changing.
I'm doing good.
I know.
God is good.
People come down, down, down. Don't forget who's in control. Walls are falling down, down, down.
Get
ready for the new Jericho. You're waiting on God.
You're waiting on God.
He's waiting on you.
He's waiting on you.
With all your best throws, now it's on you. So what you gonna do?
Come on.
Hey, y'all, 1, 2, 3. Get up, we got victory.
Thank you. Shout and raise your hand.
work.
If you want to be happy,
look at yourself and say,
don't you want to be happy? Wanna be happy, but if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing until you understand.
If I'm talking to you to say,
it's your time. It's time to change. It's time.
story.
She's a small town woman in a big town world. She's a mother and a father to one boy and three girls. She got a grandma's Bible that sent the bills in her purse. With no more options, she dropped the knees in the dirt.
She said,
Lord, please help me.
Not over.